So I would like to tell you, those of you who will listen to this message online, that I am at a little Methodist chapel at Churchill, which is between us at Westcote and Chipping Norton. It only takes me about 10 minutes to get here or something like that. And it's quite a pleasant morning. I can see now that the sun is shining. It wasn't earlier on, it was drizzling. But it's now quite a nice morning. Now we are in Advent, and I'm wanting to talk on the theme, Be Ready. And I want to speak about being ready to celebrate the first coming of Jesus at Bethlehem. And for that, we've read the story of Simeon and Anna, who was in the temple. And so we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 25 to 32 and 36 to 38. And I want to speak also about being ready to receive Christ by the Holy Spirit into our hearts today. And so we have read from the book of Revelation. It comes from the message to the church at Laodicea. And it is in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 19 to 22. And then finally, I want to say a word about being ready for the second coming of Jesus, which he has promised. And for that, we've read some verses from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 26 and 27, and verses 32 to 37. So I've set the scene for you, and want to talk about being ready. My wife, Hazel, has very few faults or failings, which is probably why we are still happily married after 52 years. However, and we celebrated our 52nd wedding anniversary last Thursday, and we had a nice lunch out at the Pheasant, which is at Toddington, just behind the Gloucestershire-Warwickshire Railway, where we actually celebrated 2 years ago our 50th wedding anniversary. On that occasion, we did have quite a few friends with us. But this last week, it was just Hazel and myself. Of course, last year, our 51st wedding anniversary just passed by because we weren't allowed to do anything at that time. I can't remember anything. We probably had a nice meal at home or something like that. So anyway, but one of Hazel's, I don't know whether it's really a failing, but she has quite a liking for a chocolate snack, which is called Be Ready. I don't know whether you're familiar, but you can pick it up at the supermarket where I go on a weekly basis. Have a look for it along the shelves. It is rather nice, and I like it as well. Be Ready is the theme of my Advent message today. Celebrating Advent involves spending time in spiritual preparation to celebrate the coming birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. In Western Christianity, the season of Advent begins on the fourth Sunday prior to Christmas Day, or the Sunday which falls closest to November the 30th and lasts until Christmas Eve, December the 24th. So celebrating Advent typically involves, or should involve, time of prayer, perhaps even fasting, and repentance, followed by anticipation, hope, and joy. We spoke about joy earlier on in the service. So many Christians celebrate Advent not only by thanking God for Christ's first coming to earth as a baby, Bethlehem, but also for his presence among us today through the Holy Spirit, and in preparation and in anticipation of his final coming at the end of the age. So there are three aspects of Advent that I would like to focus on. Jesus came, Jesus comes, and Jesus will come. Past, present, and future. I want to ask the question, are we ready to celebrate his coming as a babe to Bethlehem? Are we ready to accept his coming into our lives today by the Holy Spirit? And thirdly, are we ready for his second coming in glory to judge the world and to rule in righteousness? So we have three Be Readies this morning. Firstly, are we ready to celebrate once again the coming of Jesus into our world as a baby born of Mary, but conceived by the Holy Spirit and laid in a manger. I guess one of the most frequent questions you will hear asked throughout Advent at this time of year is, are you ready for Christmas? Meaning, are the Christmas cards sent? And I have to own up to the fact that I don't do any of those. Hazel was busy doing them yesterday, and there seemed to be quite a lot. But I think she's almost there now. Is the turkey with all the trimmings ordered? We had a lot of panic earlier on that there was going to be a shortage of turkeys and shortage of this and that. I haven't heard quite so much lately, so perhaps it was unnecessary panic. Are we entertaining or are we being entertained on the big day? Well, we weren't certain, so we've invited my cousin and her husband. So we're entertaining, but in a very small way. And we look forward to that. What about the presents? Have we forgotten anyone or anything? I don't know. It's so difficult. We have two grandchildren, and to know what they're into this year, it all seems to be beyond me, you know, these games and things that they do. So I'm afraid we will most probably take the easiest route and write a check out or something like that, you know. So I don't know. But the Scouts' motto, you'll remember, not that I ever was a Scout, we never had Scouts at Westcote. One of the disadvantages of being a very tiny community is, I think there were Girl Guides for a while at Westcote, but that didn't help me very much. We never had Scouts, we never had a football team, and even sadder for me, we never had a cricket team. But the Scouts' motto is be prepared, and I think it's a good one for Christmas. My concern is simply that we are so busy with all the customs and traditions that have surrounded Christmas that its real meaning and its significance can be missed. We can forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. And leaving Christ out of Christmas, we are left with Xmas, which has no meaning at all. Many in Israel were not ready. In John's Gospel, we read he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But there were a few who recognized who Jesus was and the significance of his birth. Some, like the shepherds, were alerted by angels, and the wise men by a star. And of course, Mary and Joseph were rather closely involved. But there were others too who were ready and waiting to receive the Saviour. So we read about Simeon. He had a revelation by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was ready and he was waiting. And as soon as the babe was placed in his arms, somehow he knew it was the Saviour, the promised Saviour. For he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Anna, too, an elderly lady, am I allowed to say that? She was 84 years old anyway, spent all her time in the temple in worship and prayer. She'd been a widow for a very long time. She recognized Jesus immediately and she went out to speak to him. To all in Jerusalem, it says, who were looking forward to redemption. So there were others. They remain unnamed. I think they formed a group of disciples who followed Jesus and became part of the early church. Others refused to recognize who Jesus was because they felt threatened by him. Herod in particular comes to mind. Herod wasn't a Jew. He had no right to be king of Israel. He was simply a placeman. He'd been placed there by the Romans, because they reckoned he would do what they told him to do. So when he heard about a king being born, he was scared. And then the Pharisees, the religious professionals of the day. John the Baptist's ministry was preparing the way for Jesus, and it was a ministry of repentance and baptism. We said earlier that Advent is a time of meditation and repentance, which brings us to our second point. Jesus comes. The second be ready is to open our lives, open our minds, our emotions, and perhaps most important of all, our wills, to welcome Christ into our lives today. And for this, Isabel read for us the Revelation scripture. verses 19 and 20 of Revelation chapter 3. Being ready to accept Christ into our lives now involves repentance, a turning away from sin and acknowledging our need of Him. Seems to me that our secular world today is saying we have no need of Christ. We have no need of God. We have evolved from apes to gods, so we can run the world ourselves. You don't need me to tell you how that is going. As well as allegedly polluting our planet to the point of making it uninhabitable, we also live in constant threat of opposing worldviews. Through extremist Islam, and we've seen some terrible events around that in the Middle East, and even on our own land, in our own land, to communism, all of which could flare up into worldwide conflagrations at any time. I've always been interested in the news and current affairs. I think at one time you could have called me a news addict, but now I find it very depressing. And I largely avoid it. In essence, I suggest if we leave God in Christ out of our lives and the collective life of the world, we are in very grave danger. In the light of that, it's vital that we respond to the invitation of Christ to permit Him into our lives individually, so He can enlighten and guide us on the right pathway. Pathway of love and peace and righteousness. I love the painting of Holman Hunt with Christ standing with a lantern at a door largely covered with ivy, looking like it had not been opened lately. Christ, the light of the world. You will remember that there's no handle on the outside. There is a poignant message there. Handle is on the inside. And it is our choice whether to invite Christ into our lives. That picture, I believe, is based on the scripture that we read in Revelation. My third point is Christ will come. Our third, be ready. Arguably, that is the most challenging be ready of all. Why? Because we do not know when it will be. Some have tried to foretell the date and have been humiliated. Jesus said, it's not for us to know the times or the dates. Only the Father knows. I guess we should live as though it could be today. Do you want to be prepared for Jesus' second coming? Then I think we should live like His first coming mattered. Jesus is coming again. Personally and visibly, He's coming back because He promised to come back in power and in glory. He will return to consummate His redemptive mission and to establish His eternal kingdom. Bible-believing Christians may disagree on some details surrounding the end times, but on this we can agree: Jesus is coming again, and we rejoice in that. As we read through Mark 13, look for the exhortations. Watch out. Be on your guard. Stay awake. Note especially the final verse of the chapter which Linda read for us this morning, where Jesus said this, and what I say to you, I say to everyone, be alert. And the Greek word translated be alert means stay awake or watch. It's the very last word of the chapter. And Jesus' final word on this subject in Mark's Gospel. The recurring theme of Scripture concerning the second coming is to be ready. And Scripture is not silent on how we're to prepare. The Gospels are full of stories, such as the one you'll remember of the wise and foolish virgins, warning us of the sad consequences of being unready. Many people will scoff at this belief. Even some Christians will have their doubts. I remember a well-respected, a retired minister coming to Westcote on Advent Sunday. This is many, many years ago. He said he found the subject of the second coming of Christ very difficult and spoke on something else entirely. I still remember feeling shortchanged. Peter in his epistle says this: you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come. Following their own evil desires, they will say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter then goes on to say that the day of the Lord will come suddenly, and rather like some of the prophets of today, suggesting that the world as we know it will be no more. He goes on to ask the question, since this will happen, what kind of people then ought we to be? And he answers his own question. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and you speed its coming. What a challenge that is. This year, as part of my daily devotions, I've been enjoying Hope for Each Day by Billy Graham. I would like to give him the last word. And a few days ago, I read this. And this is a quote. What would you say to a person who had made 100 promises to you and already kept 99 of them? You would probably think he was honest enough to fulfill the last promise. Jesus Christ has fulfilled every promise he ever made, except one. He has not yet returned. Will he? In both the Old and the New Testaments, there are references to the return of the Lord. Isaiah, for example, looking forward to the day when the Messiah's kingdom would be a reality, says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered. And John quotes Christ as saying, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself. The entire book of Revelation tells of the glorious return of Christ. So we can say with the Apostle John, who wrote that book, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.